Very good. Yeah, just read the whole chapter of John 10, which is good. Okay, let's pray. Sort of clear this a bit. Okay, Father, thank you for the words that we just read. Words that give us life. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would open our ears so that we would see Jesus. That we'd know him more, that we would enjoy rich fellowship with him more. Lord, as we open up these words, Lord, we pray they reach right down into our hearts and stir us. And Lord, if we're his sheep, Lord, we want to hear his voice this morning. We pray this, Lord Jesus, through you, and we pray your spirit work in our hearts. Amen. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It's all good to be here. It was a very energetic night last night, so I'll try and feel like I've got a little bit of energy. So we're looking. Do you want to get up here and preach, Travis? So we've been as a church, you've been going through Book of John, Gospel of John. And as I looked at this passage in John 10, as I studied it, I kept on sort of coming to this conclusion that Jesus is the most attractive person to know and to have as our God, as our Redeemer. As you think about life, there are many things that attract us. You know, we're attracted to many things. We're attracted to, you know, spouses, friends, and there's certain things that attract us to them. Certain things that attracted you to different people that are your friends, your spouse, if you're in that situation, fiance, whatever it is, just to pick on you. As you get to know these people, you know, you're attracted to the way how they make you feel and how they get you, they understand you, what they bring into that relationship, all their abilities and qualities. And I even think about, you know, maybe your first date. You know, things of how that person attracted you. Then there's the attraction of buying something new. You know, like we often, I don't know, we're in a very consumeristic, whatever that's, materialistic sort of world, and buying something new makes us sometimes feel good, doesn't it? You know, makes us, you know, like we've got something modern and fresh, and, you know, that new bit of clothing, that new gadget, the car, you know, the nice feeling of the nice brand new car, you know, the smell. That object, you know, you think that's going to change you, you know, like the gadget's going to make your life more able to communicate with people. Maybe it's the phone or it's the clothing. It's going to make you feel better about yourself when you go out, making yourself feel more comfortable. Maybe it's the car, more comfort. Then there's the attraction of food in life, you know, the smell of food, the taste of food, the nourishment of food, what it does for you. You know, it tastes good, it brings life to you, it keeps you alive. And Jesus wants us to know, as we've been looking through John, he wants us to know that having him in our lives is a relationship that is attractive to you and me. That he is the most attractive object of worship. And that in Jesus he gives us life and he gives us to the abundance. So, like I said, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and John's desire is for us to believe in Jesus, to see Jesus for who he is. I love the honesty, you know, that he puts in this passage in John 10 we just read, that the people thought he was demonic. You know, the honesty of this. But it's sort of like, what do you think? What do you think about Jesus? We sort of bring in his readers always. What do you think about Jesus? Because he wants people to see this relationship, this attractive relationship that can be you and mine, you and mine in Christ. So far we've looked at Jesus. Throughout John, we've seen that he is the living water. He brings water that quenches our thirst for life. We've seen that him is the bread of life. He nourishes us with us spiritually with his life. We saw last time in John 9 that Jesus opens the spiritually blind eyes so we can worship him, so we can see him. And so this John 10 continues from John 9. Sometimes they will jump, but this actually does continue. Continues. It's in the same theme, it's the same story. And these are the same crowds. These are the same people still asking the questions. It's still the same people involved with that blind man that Jesus healed. And you'll see this in the conversations. But John wants them and us to know, John is recording it, but Jesus wants them and us to know that following Jesus, following him is attractive. It's the only life worth living. Jesus makes some big claims that real life is only in him. That he's the only one that gives us eternal life and he gives it to you and me. And I don't know about you, but if you stop and think about that, it's got to be jolly attractive. Eternal life with God. Eternal life with Jesus. Eternal life with all the blessings that God can give us. And yet these people refuse to hear and they refuse to respond positively to Jesus. So today I want to open up this and think about some things that Jesus is attractive. Why we follow him. Following him is attractive. Three things I thought of. Firstly, knowing that through the attractiveness of Jesus that we know him and he knows us. You know, there's a relational, personal God that Jesus knows us and we know him. He knows us by name. You know, secondly, that Jesus protects and cares for us. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, protects his sheep. And that Jesus ultimately gives us eternal life. His death, see, he dies so we don't die. So he gave us life rather than death. So let's hear Jesus speak to us again in John 10. We're just going to read a few verses, which is verses 1 up to 10. John 10. Let me find it when I move my page across. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, excuse me, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Isn't that a great passage? I need a drink. There was a reason why we read Ezekiel 34 today during our passage. In that passage, God is condemning the false shepherds of Israel at that time who were in positions of authority over God's people, and yet they were only interested in it for themselves. It was only self-interest for their own power, for their own greed. And so often we see in life those who are power-hungry people are very, very insecure people. They feed off others by ruling over them. That's how they get their insecurities fulfilled. And they rob others of joy. They only see these people as objects of self-interest. And Jesus rebukes, well, God rebukes these false shepherds in Ezekiel 34. God is not like them. Jesus is not like them. So God is rebuking them, and he's also, Jesus is rebuking them in John 10. It's sort of connected. God promises in Ezekiel 34 that one day he will bring a true shepherd. And this shepherd would be God himself. That he will tend the sheep, he will gather the sheep from all the nations to make them one flock. And Jesus is making this charge against the false shepherds. The false shepherds that we read about, that started to read about a bit more in John 9, these are the religious types who have a rule book to themselves and have no interest in hearing Jesus or no interest in other people. They just cast this man out, this blind man in John 9. They just cast him out. The man who could see Jesus, they just said, no, we don't want anything to do with you. Cast him out. These are the false shepherds that Jesus is talking about. They didn't care. They only cared about their ideas and their pride because they weren't interested in hearing or following Jesus. And these are the thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about. Yet Jesus is the one who finds the man, the one lost sheep, the one who hears his voice. You know, like the parable of the lost sheep, the one who goes out and finds the good shepherd, because Jesus is that good shepherd. And if the Pharisees, if they were true shepherds, their lives would go through Jesus, the door. If they are, if you are a man in a shepherding position, and I say we've got people looking at becoming overseas here, we've also got fathers and people to be fathers, or I'd say that's a shepherding position as well over the family. You know, we need to think about this too. But who do we go through? Who does our life go through? Does it go through Jesus, the door? Because Jesus calls people who don't go through that in their shepherding role as a robber and a thief. Their motives are wrong. They seek to destroy and kill rather than imitate Jesus who brings life and growth. You see the difference between the two shepherds here. One brings them out to pastures green so they grow and flourish, and the other one sucks them dry. Sucks them dry. No interest. All they're feeding is their insecurities. Scary thoughts, isn't it? A scary passage to think about. But I think it's a good wake-up call, particularly for us men who are shepherds under God, us men who are husbands, who are fathers and who are leaders in the church, that our lives need to go through Jesus, the door. That we are not those religious leaders who are feeding themselves just out of self-interest, feeding our own insecurities in order to make ourselves feel important, to feel like we're in authority. So Jesus says we must be cautious of this idea, that we don't exclude those sheep that Jesus died for. See, Jesus died for that blind man, and they were excluding him, but Jesus included him because Jesus loved him so much that he would die for him. You know, our responsibility also is for the sheep, you know, which includes us. We're all one a sheep. If we're a husband, if we're a pastor, whatever we are, we're a sheep as well. So not only does the sheep need to hear God's voice who are under us to wherever we are, the sheep also, who are everyone, need to hear the words of Jesus, because Jesus' sheep want to hear his voice. But think about that. My voice is not important. As I'm sitting here, don't listen to my voice unless it's speaking what Jesus got to say. It's not important. Unless I'm talking about driving lights, then it might be. But when we're talking about Jesus and about life, Jesus' words are important. So you don't want to hear my voice, we want to hear Jesus' voice. Why? Because Jesus' sheep hear his voice and respond. Not my voice. I don't want people following me. We follow Jesus. And so as I'm here today, as all us are here today in a shepherding role, like I say, whoever that may be, we need to hear Jesus' voice because we need to teach people Jesus' voice. So we need to be in this to hear his voice so we can handle it well, study it, to teach others. All the sheep belong to Jesus and they need to hear his voice. And we all need to study it, each individual one of us, to get into it, to know him, to allow him to speak to us. But I wonder when the last time it was when you actually sat down, opened this up and said, I want to hear what Jesus has got to say to me today. Not looking for something to just build your ego up, going through those favourite little verses, just opening up John and reading through it and saying, what is Jesus going to speak to me today? When was the last time you did that? To intentionally hear Jesus speak. I wonder when that was. When was the last time that you encouraged a friend to read with you to hear Jesus speak? Because his sheep hear his voice. It's important because it's relational, isn't it? Jesus, well, everything he uses is very relational, personal language. Jesus knows his sheep by name. Isn't that exciting? They reckon that in that culture they did call them names, but Jesus' playing is very personal. Jesus knows you and he knows me. And we know Jesus. In that time, they had there's two different sort of pens, sheep pens here, probably a little bit like the sale yards they have in Swan Hill. But the first one Jesus is talking about when he talks about the door, In that time, they had a communal sheep pen where you could place your sheep overnight, sort of near the village or in the village. It was fairly close by. It wasn't out in the fields. And that pen would have a mixture of different people's sheep, and they'd have a gatekeeper there. So as the sheep would hear the voice, the gatekeeper would know the shepherd when he comes, but as the sheep would hear the shepherd's voice, they would start to stir up. Here comes the shepherd. You know, he would call them by name and they'd respond by coming. And so as they hear his voice, they would be thinking, getting stirred, thinking, he's going to take us out to green pastures. We're going to get fed today. We're going to get fed. We're going to get our daily feed. We're going to follow him. Isn't that a wonderful picture of us in Christ? As we hear, as we stir up, as we read this, we hear Jesus' voice as he brings us to the green pastures so we can grow, we can be nourished, and we can enjoy the safety of Jesus, like that that shepherd that goes out. And we have the freedom going in and out to find the green pastures because we're with him. God provides for his children. We are his sheep. And there's only one way to be that sheep is through Jesus the door. The only entrance into God's family is through Jesus the door. That pen only had one door, and Jesus is saying, here's it. The sheep only follow the shepherd. They trust him. They trust his voice. They know, last time he took me out to green pastures. Why would I trust any other voice? And don't we live in a culture that has many voices that are pounding us, boom, 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 you know, pounding us. I just use the thump, thump music, but it's pounding us. So I wonder, for you, how do you respond to all those different voices? You know, every morning we wake up with a voice calling us to get out of bed. You know, I think about those sheep. They're getting stirred up to call out to where they're going, follow the shepherd to green pastures. But for some, we wake up with the voice, maybe, every morning of success calling me out. What can I get out of today? How can I feel good about myself today? Or the voice of self-gratification. How can I extract from people and God's creation in order for me to have the life that people serve me? The life that the thieving shepherd, the robbing shepherds, isn't it? That kind of thinking. Only to serve ourselves. Maybe we wake up with the voice of busyness. Just keep busy. Don't stop. Don't stop to think too much about life, where you're going, what's happening, how you're growing. Don't think about those sort of things. Just keep busy. But here, Jesus calls his sheep to action. He speaks, they get up. It's time to move out. It's time to get out of the pen and follow me. I wonder if that's you every morning. I wonder if that's you some mornings. Or is it hardly ever? Jesus calls his sheep to action, to green pastures, to hear his voice and follow him. So we need to say no to the voice that's a thief that's come to take life from us. And we say yes to Jesus who's come that we may have life. It's not a half-measured, dull life. See, we so think that. And I think sometimes, we know the non-follower of Jesus thinks it's dull and boring, but I think sometimes we believe that lie and we think it's dull and boring. But Jesus says abundant life. Jesus provides for us all we need. Life in Jesus as a child isn't a lifeless life, it's an abundant life. And so often we think of limitations and restrictions, but he gives us freedom and liberty. We can go in and out in freedom in Christ. So Jesus has redeemed us to be his children, part of his family. Even just think, everything one day will be ours in Christ. Let's continue to read on to know a bit more about Jesus. Let's read from 11 to 18. Where am I? Okay, here we are. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So they will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So another great passage. So here we see Jesus is our good shepherd, as the one who protects us. Another drink. He's the one who protects us. But interestingly, he's the one who gathers the sheep too. Gathers the sheep from the communal pen hole. He goes ahead of the sheep, a sign of a good shepherd. He takes them out. Always leading, thinking forward, or forward thinking, might I say. Planning to see where he takes the shepherd to grow, the sheep to grow. And that's why they follow him. The mission is to find the good pasture so they can be healthy and be looked after. They're loved. The sheep are loved by the shepherd. And it's interesting because there is another place where the sheep often used to stay, and that was when they were out in the field. And at night the sheep stayed in this other holding pen that was out in the fields. And these pens only had one entrance again, but they had no gate. So how could the sheep be safe at night with no gate? How would they be safe when the wolf comes to devour them? The wolf comes to scatter and confuse. You know, a bit like the devil comes, confusion, scattering people. Sin does that. The shepherd was their only hope of protection. But what would happen is the shepherd would lay his life, his body, across the entrance of that pen. So if the sheep came, if the wolf came at night, he had to get past the shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, to protect us, to save us from harm, to defend us, the sheep, because we are unable to defend ourselves. And how does Jesus do this on the cross? Jesus died. He laid down his life so that we could have life in him. On the cross, Jesus took on the devil and won. No longer does Satan have power and authority over those in Christ, over his sheep. I want to read to you Colossians 2. And I'll find that one. Somewhere in here. Here we go. Colossians 2:13-15. And it reads, "And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive with him, having forgiven us of our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." And here we see Jesus' life on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, has disarmed, made powerless the enemy, Satan. His death has defeated sin, the authority of sin over our life that made us accountable to God to be condemned. Jesus had authority over life and death. Jesus has the authority to give himself over to die for us. Have a look at verse 14 back in John 10. You know, no authority put Jesus on the cross. It was Jesus himself. Jesus did that willingly. He had the authority to take it up, and he did. If you read through John, you'll notice that a lot of times it says when they tried to take him, his time was not here. In other words, they couldn't take him because it was not in God's timing, because it was Jesus who decided. Even though it used through the means of Roman execution, it was Jesus who willingly died for you. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. And notice that also in verse 16 that the sheep are not just Israel, but all people. That Jesus gathers his sheep from all parts of the world. Like in Ezekiel 34, Jesus gathers. We see sin in the Bible scatters. We see Satan tends to scatter things in confusion, but Jesus gathers. Jesus is the one shepherd over all who belong to him. And he gathers all these people and makes them into one family. It's not just here at Seed Church. Globally, one flock in Jesus. And so we, as we read this, we have a mission. Because we need to take Jesus to all people. Because this is Jesus' mission, Jesus' business of gathering his sheep from all over the world so they will know him, so they will hear him, they will trust him and follow him. So how do the crowds, how do they respond to this? How do the crowds respond to Jesus? Verses 19-30. Oh, would help if I'm not in John. I'm reading Colossians. That's all right. Okay, 19:30. And there was division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus has declared that he is that good shepherd from Ezekiel 34, that he is the shepherd of God's people, and he makes this bold statement. People don't like it, but they have to suck it up. But there's confusion still. You know, they're sitting there thinking about Jesus, thinking, well, maybe he's demonic. You know, they're going back to that same thing they've been back in John 9. Maybe he's demonic, he's out of his mind. But then the other guys are saying, well, wait a minute, demon opened blind eyes? Why would, you know, a demon do some sort of act of good that would help people? It seems silly. You know, it makes no sense. And yet they still fail to believe Jesus. They say what he is and what he isn't, but they still can't hear Jesus say what he is. And in their confusion, they fail to see Jesus as the good shepherd, the true shepherd of all the people. But those who hear Jesus are his sheep. They belong to him, redeemed by him. You know, those who didn't believe find it safer to remain in confusion, to be scattered. And they want Jesus to tell them what they want to hear. And Jesus says, I've already been telling you. I've been telling you who I am, but you still won't listen. I wonder if that's you today. You know, you believe it's better to remain in confusion about Jesus than to actually know Jesus. You know, you're always asking questions about God and challenging God, but you never sit and actually listen to what Jesus has to say. You don't allow Jesus' voice to shape your life. You know, what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives you is eternal life. His sheep are secure in him. Nothing can take you away from Jesus if you belong to him. Think about that. It's a 100% guarantee from God. I wonder if you take it for granted that you are eternally secure if you're in Christ. That nothing, that the devil or human power can separate you from Jesus. No sin you can commit can't be dealt with on the cross if you belong to Jesus. But I wonder if you that knowledge comes to play in your everyday life when you stuff up for the 20th time. You know, it's good to question, you know, do I really belong to Jesus? But we also need to hear Jesus speak to us. I have dealt with every sin. I lay my life down for you. You are my child. You are secure as his sheep. Not because of your sin, but because of my love for you displayed on the cross. Because I lay my life down for you. I wonder how you look at other sheep who are in Jesus' fold, who Jesus loved, who Jesus died for, as a sinner, just like you. Wonder how you look at them when they step up for the 10th time. Remember the Pharisees, they looked down on others. They criticized others because they didn't tick their boxes. Yet they knew they were sinners before God, but they had a higher rating of things. And they had these other ideas that were going through their head, all these traditions and stuff. But what does it take to tick Jesus' box? The rigid religious lifestyle, reading the Bible at least 5 times a day, praying 5 times a day? No. It's simply trusting that Jesus has paid for your sins on the cross, hearing his voice, repenting and following him. That makes you his sheep. The reason why you read and pray every day or whenever it is, or twice a day or 10 times a day, whatever it is because you have a desire to know the shepherd, the good shepherd. Because you want to hear his voice. You trust his voice. You want to go into that to hear him speak.
because you're his sheep and you enjoy that deep relationship with him in prayer, because your life depends on him, the good shepherd. Maybe Jesus is reminding you today who you are. Maybe you've been taking Jesus for granted. Maybe you think, oh, I've just arrived. Or you believe that Jesus isn't worth knowing more and more. You think, I just am enough. It's enough. I don't need to get into the Word. I don't need to know him more. I don't need to pray more. I've arrived. Let's get on with life. No, Jesus is the life. Knowing Jesus, the door and the good shepherd, is the life. As we read further along in John, right down the end, in verse 41 and 42, there's some good news for some people. Verse 41, and many came to him and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Isn't that wonderful? Many believed. As we've been journeying through John, we've been looking to see who Jesus is. We've been introduced to the only good shepherd, who is the most attractive person you could ever know. You've been getting to know Jesus personally as you've been studying John. We've been hearing Jesus speak. We see Jesus who knows you, who loves you, who died for you so that you could have life. Life in him. But maybe you've known about Jesus for a long time, but over the past months as we've been studying John, you are knowing him more. That's what Jesus wants. This is the God who calls you by name. He wants us to know him, to speak to him and to hear him speak to us, to trust him, to follow him. To know that Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, that nothing can get past him, that he protects us day and night. You know, that means you can sleep well at night. And that's sometimes hard in a worrying world. That means you can sleep because Jesus is the one protecting you. That means you can wake up each day knowing that Jesus is the one you wake up to, that he is the one who calls you out of that pen. If your bedroom might be a pen, I don't know. But he calls you out because he wants you to grow and nourish and know that he cares. Jesus is the one who protects us. As we tend to start to wander off, thinking about going out of the pen at night, he protects us also. He doesn't protect the things coming just in, but he protects those of us in there as well. As we tend to wander, no, get back here, buddy. Get back in the pen. It's not safe. Jesus protects his sheep. The Redeemer of our life. I mean, we were destined for death. But he predestined us to eternal life in him. Isn't that wonderful? So that we could have real life. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be nothing more attractive than that. I mean, you look at Facebook, you've got eBay, Netflix, all that sort of stuff. And I'm into all those three things. But knowing Jesus every day as a good shepherd has to beat them all. Often we compare life to Jesus as being dull, compares to all these things, but we have it the wrong way around. Jesus came to bring us life. You know, we think that Jesus is creator, is saying, you know, that we often see him as like he's trying to restrict our lives, but no. Real living is in Jesus. Nothing that's, if you're outside of Jesus, you're not really living. You know, that BCF says, you know, this is living. I think it is, you know, this is living. Jesus fished, Jesus camped, but Jesus, life in him, this is living. You know, we need to hear Jesus' voice, trust him. Why don't you think about your life today? Think about the fact that Jesus is your good shepherd. I want you to think about also, as you think about life, also all those things you see on TV, all those dodgy investments. You know, you see those guys and they run for cover as soon as they get sprung. You know, those take people's money. That's that sort of that shepherd that is that hired person who's running away. Maybe you've experienced that in relationships where people just run away when things get tough. But Jesus is a good shepherd. The hired hands, they run, as you see in the passage. When the wolf comes, they leave the sheep because they're number one. But Jesus didn't do that. He took the devil on and he won on the cross. And I want you to know that Jesus laid down his life in death to deal with your life of sin and rebellion, to clothe you as his sheep because he loves you. He cares for you. Why would you entrust your life to anything other than Jesus? Look around. Is there anything that is the good shepherd in your life apart from Jesus? You know, your wife, your husband, your career, your possessions, whatever it is. They don't bring the security that Jesus does. And that Jesus is the door. Notice that there's no entrance fee or examination, that you simply go through Jesus the door as the good shepherd, having him as the good shepherd, placing your life under him. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the one you go through to enter into God's fold. Our entrance isn't how good we are, but on the work of Jesus. That Jesus has dealt with our guilt and shame. Who is Jesus? He is the good shepherd over the sheep, over you and me, over your life and my life as we trust him. I'm going to read verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they would never perish. And no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I'm just going to pray in a minute. I want you to think about your life, and as I pray, I want you to think about where you fit, or where Jesus fits with you today. And maybe for you, Jesus is the good shepherd of your life, but your life often doesn't trust him. I want you to hear what Jesus has to say to you today. Know that Jesus loves you and is for you. In a moment, I want you to, when we come to a time of prayer, I want you to thank him for reminding you that he cares. You know, maybe your life has been distracted from knowing Jesus because you took him for granted as the door and the good shepherd. You seem to think that knowing him through his word is the least of your priorities. And so you spend time investing in other voices and neglect hearing Jesus. Well, today I want to encourage you to pray and ask Jesus to refresh that relationship that is the most important relationship in the world. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you be refreshed in his word and in prayer. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your door and good shepherd, but Jesus wants you to have life in him, to have your sins forgiven, to have life without guilt and shame. Knowing that Jesus cares for you, he wants you to know that. And he wants you to give you eternal life, a life that no one can take from you, because he is the good shepherd. And if that's you, then pray that Jesus will open your ears and your eyes to hear his, to see him, to hear his voice. To respond with repentance and faith by saying sorry for living without him and realizing that Jesus is the one who laid down his life for your sin so that you can be free. And ask Jesus to be your shepherd and help you live as his sheep. Let's come before him in a time of prayer. I'm just going to pause, and if that's you, just feel free to pray quietly. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that intimate relationship you have between yourself and your Son and your Spirit. And we thank you that that relationship overflows and we can experience a relationship with you. That you've made us relational beings, creatures. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came and gathered us, your scattered sheep. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, you know us by name. Lord, that we can hear your voice as we go to your word, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, we can speak to you. Lord, we want to repent of the times that we just neglect you, Lord. To wherever we are on the scale, whether we feel our relationship's close to you, whether we feel it's far away from you, Lord, there are times when we just take you for granted. Lord, we want to say no to the distracting voices that aren't our true shepherd in our lives. And Lord, we want to wake up every morning and hear you call us by name, to call us out to the green pastures, to call us out to your great work of gathering more people to hear your voice. Lord, help us to be those people. Lord, help us to know that we are your sheep. Lord, we pray that you help us to grow in this. Through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Let's have a coffee and a bit more encouragement of each other.